Father, we thank you so much. Oh, we give you glory tonight for your presence, and we thank you for your mercies towards us, your faithfulness. Father, we thank you that you are a covenant-keeping God. Thank you for the hunger you placed in the heart of your people. Thank you for the desire you put in us, expectations you put in us, O God, to see your purposes fulfilled in our generation. Thank you for giving us a burden for the lost of our generation. Thank you for giving us a desire to partner with you upon the altar of intersection. Father, we thank you for keeping this altar and making it available for many who desire to cry before you. Thank you for your grace you poured out, the grace of supplication. Father, thank you for the various people on this line tonight that have just yielded to this call. Thank you, Father, for their families, their children, their everything that pertains to their life. We give you glory. Tonight again, we are very humbled to be in your presence, and we ask that your mercy will prevail and that your Son Jesus will truly be magnified over this atmosphere and over the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We thank God for Sister Billy. Thank you so much for really helping us as a chairwoman to really keep this mantle of prayer for ASLEPN growing. We thank all our coordinators and different pastors on the line, and of course we thank every one of you and the willing women for really sustaining these 24 hours that is giving us opportunity to partner with you in this window of time, these Thursdays and Wednesdays. Thank you so much. If there's ever a time in any generation, especially this generation, that God is looking for partnership, is looking for prayer, is now. And if there's any time that prophecies are to be prayed into, is now. And if there's any time that our own time, we are to partner with Israel to pray over the nation of Israel, is now. And of course, to stand in the gap for the geographical location where God has placed us, this part of the world, America, is now. So, prayer is really what makes the difference in this hour. So thank you all so much for making this a priority to be with us this evening. We are going to continue to pray into the season we are in because it's such a window of provision. It's a window of miracles. It's a window of opportunity. And we don't just want to run through it. So the things we've been sharing for the past 3 weeks, some of you have been gaining some understanding, but I just want to share a little bit and we'll just again pray. And hopefully you are already praying into this season outside of this line, because just the few times we're on this line, I don't think it's completely adequate for you to really press into what God has for you in this season. So I pray that whatever I share today, the Lord will encourage you, inspire you, and just activate expectation in you to believe for some shift in your personal life, in your family, in your ministries, in everything you do, to see a new level of God's hand upon your life in this season. Because it's a window of time that God reminds us of the things that He's done for us. So I pray that would be your portion by the grace of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon declared that he says, to every purpose, not some purpose, every purpose under heaven, there is a time and there is a season, time to sow and time to reap. And he made it very clear. So every purpose under heaven, God has established times and seasons. Right from the beginning of Genesis, God also made mention of seasons and that seasons will be determined by the alignment, the provision is made with the sun and the moon and the stars and other stuff. So that's why in the early, in the older generation, they use just the define months and seasons through the moon, in the cycle of the moon. So God is very, very particular about seasons. And so, you know, also the book of Second Chronicles, you know, God also raised up a whole tribe of Israel just to give understanding of times and seasons, especially things regarding to the prophetic destiny of Israel to the children of Issachar. In the physical realm, like we have mentioned over and over, farmers have a very good understanding of the windows of season. If they don't plant at a certain time, it is too late to plant for the year. And when they plant, their planting season is targeted so that by the time the rains come, they will be able to harvest their crop in the time of reaping. So they understand the importance of season. So, and we know that seasons brings different windows of characteristics. So Jesus also made this very amazing statement to the people of his time. He says, when they see certain winds blow, they know that either rain is coming or it's going to be sunny. And depends on the wind that is blowing, whether it's a west wind. So he says, if they are able to discern the physical seasons, he says, how come that they are missing? They could not discern the time of their visitation. You know, the time that prophecy said Jesus was going to manifest, they could not see it. So seasons are very, very important, especially in the day that we live in as pertaining to Israel and the destiny of the nations. Because Israel is kind of the hand of the clock for the times and the generations all through history. I want to read a scripture for us, and I will use this scripture by the grace of God to show sometimes when a new season begins, especially spiritual seasons, many times people miss the season until they start seeing certain things that start happening, very obvious things start happening. They miss what God is doing in that season until it becomes very obvious. So I want to share this to you so that you can begin to contain and by faith to just enter into the window of this season early enough and just start believing God, start praying, just wrestling with faith to manifest things that God has established for this season. Before I read the scripture, I also want to bring to our remembrance that God is a God of covenant. Every time that God has given promises, all the way from Genesis, we can see to Revelations, God is a God of covenant. And because the word of God, the Bible says the life of every flesh is in the blood. So the life of God, the word of God, is life, is all in the blood of Jesus. So if you fast forward all the way to the book of Revelations 12, God again was showing that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We love not our life unto death. Basically, again, he's saying, it is the covenant of my Son. Understanding covenant, standing on covenant, and the promises that comes with those covenant is what will give you authority and victory to overcome every plot and power of the enemy and to possess our promises. So covenant is very important. Covenant is very important because God also made covenant with Noah after the flood, and he showed him the rainbow in the sky. And God repeated over and over, I will watch over when I see this rainbow. I remember my covenant. Over, I keep telling Noah, this rainbow shall be my covenant. This shall be my covenant, my covenant, my covenant, that I will not destroy the world with water again between me and you and the earth. So God is a God of covenant. And his covenant, he never forgets. So every promise of God, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God that is established by covenant, always is also remembered by covenant. That's how God remembers his promises. So in this season we live, everything, this, especially this window of season we're praying into, we have to really remember the covenant God has made for this season and the reason. And like Jesus told his disciples as he was establishing and preparing them for the new covenant, after supper, they took the communion. And he says, this is the blood of the new covenant, the new testament. This is in my blood. This is the new testament in my blood. You know, and then he established that on the cross. So he says, as often as you do this, you bring to remembrance what I've done. So he talks about remembrance to remind us the reason for this season that we came through, this first month of God's Hebraic calendar, God's prophetic calendar. Say, remember the reason for this covenant, the reason for my sacrifice, the reason for this season, so that we don't forget. Also, through history, whenever God does a miracle, the children of Israel, like when they crossed Jordan in this season, he told Joshua to put 12 stones around that river. So when their children ask them, why is this? He will remind them what God did at that time, you know, to remember, so that they remember the same thing with the crossing of the Red Sea and the Passover. So since we've gone through all those things last week and last 2 weeks, I want to read a scripture, and now so that we can start seeing a little bit of understanding of the spiritual shift in the atmosphere in the seasons, and how sometimes people can miss it in the season, so that we can really press into it. I'll read from the book of Acts, chapter 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he has, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many, many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. You know, that word is so powerful. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Which said, so I want you to see here, Jesus, after the resurrection, from the resurrection, you know, something happened. We're still in this first month. It's not over yet. The first Hebraic month. We just came out of the Passover part of it. During this season that Jesus was fulfilling a major covenant, the reason he was sent, the reason God came in the flesh, he said, the hour has come to fulfill it. The Son of God will be glorified. When after fulfilling this season, his own part, he was risen on the third day. From that day, as the first fruit, the first begotten from the dead, that's why I said the church of the firstborn. From that first day, as the first fruit, the Bible says from this book of Acts, and Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 14, he started appearing. He started visiting. He started, I'll use the word, manifesting to certain people, to different people. And these people that he manifested to, they experienced him. It wasn't everybody. They experienced him. For example, he manifested after resurrection, he manifested to Mary. He was one of the first people, Magdalene, and he told her to go tell the disciples. Then later he manifested to the disciples. Then he manifested to two of them going on the way to Emmaus. You know, and then later the disciples were fishing. He manifested to them and made some food for them, and they came. And some of this manifestation, first, Mary did not know he was the one, because he thought he was a gardener until he called Mary's name, and Mary said, "Oh, Rabboni, that is the master." You know, when he heard his voice, you know, they did not recognize this new season. But the Spirit, when they heard his voice, they knew. The two of them going on the way to Emmaus, he was walking with them and going with them. They did not know who he was. They thought he was the same, just another person traveling on the road. But until he started breaking the word, and when he went to break bread with them and spoke, their eyes were open and they saw. See, that was a new season. See, when a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it will not produce the same corn. That is, it's not the one that is in the ground that you will see. But that one in the ground is dead. It produces a fresh, totally fresh corn, but it's still corn, but it has a new covering. So this is a new season. Jesus is now manifesting, but they didn't know him until he speaks. And the life, and they recognize that voice, and the life with that voice. And before he knew, he disappeared in their midst at Emmaus. And so, Paul said he manifested to so many. And so, for 40 days, Luke was writing to Theophilus here, in the book of Acts, that he was manifesting with infallible proof that he has risen from the dead. And he was teaching them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. For 40 days, you know, through the season. And now, as he was about to leave at the 40th day, the ascension, he called his disciples together, he assembled them together, and he told them something. He says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard of me.'" What does this mean? My brothers and sisters, what Jesus was saying here is exactly what he lived out. Jesus lived in Israel, growing as the Son of God, but he was able to discern the seasons of the things that were written about him. He meditated on scriptures, he lived, but he was always praying into the destiny God has prepared for him. So when the time came, he went to the baptism of John the Baptist. He was anointed. And then after that, he served for almost 3 years plus. And then it was so clear to him towards the last Passover. He kept telling them, "My hour has come. My season has come. My time has come." And he started preparing them for it. He started doing things to prepare them for his departure. He started telling them. How did he know? He understood the seasons of his destiny. He understood that from scriptures, and he understood that from revelation, the things God has spoken about that time. So he also, knowing that the disciples, they've been experiencing him, of course, in many, many ways now. But he opened their eyes to understand scriptures. He was teaching them. But he also knew that they have not come to really understand how to tap into seasons of destiny. So Jesus here taught them how to engage in a window of time. And the key was, he says, you don't go anywhere, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. That word wait is the same word in meaning that was used by Isaiah prophetically in Isaiah 54, verse 4, where he says, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who wait for him." And then Paul repeated the same thing this way. He says, "Eyes have not seen," 1 Corinthians 2, "eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These things are revealed by the Spirit." So if you go back to Isaiah 54, He says, the physical eyes, the physical ears, and the physical heart cannot discern spiritual season so that they can manifest the things that have been prepared for that season. You know, winter comes, everything dries up. So people don't understand. And then, but in the physical, we know that spring is coming. So we prepare for it. And spring brings its own refreshing. It's the cycle. We need to grow every year in the things of God. So now, Jesus understanding season was telling them, just like Isaiah, there are things that God has prepared for this season. I have done my part. Now, my part has opened, has shifted, and the atmosphere has changed. The season has changed. Before now, Satan was ruling the world. You know, man has fallen. What just happened on Passover with my blood has closed the chapter of the old covenant. It has closed the chapter of sin, you know, from the fall of Adam. I have opened a new chapter. I am the first begotten from the dead. Now, there are promises connected to this season. I'm about to leave, but I want you to go wait for those promises I've shared with you that are connected to this season that is consigning you. What is the word for wait? The word for wait is not just sitting, it's an active word. In other words, no matter how busy you are, stop every business and go seek the presence of the Lord. Engage yourself in prayer, in worship, and be sensitive to where the wind is blowing. Wind, I want to share with you about the wind. Wind in the physical also points to wind in the spiritual. What do I mean by that? There are four winds in the physical realm. And these four winds determine the season, the cycle of the physical season. We have the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind. And each of these winds, if you study the Bible very well, you hear something, I said the east wind blow, there was problem, the north wind, the that wind. You know, these winds, Jesus even said, when you see the west wind blow, you say there's going to be rain. These winds, they blow in things and they blow out things. There is a wind that brings in dry winter season. There is a wind that takes the winter season out and brings in spring. And there's a wind that just brings in the hot weather. So they determine the seasons. And the seasons determine the life, the fruit, the lifestyle of the fruit and the things in the earth. So again, like I say always, physical things are reflection of spiritual realities. So in the spirit, there are also four winds. You can study this in the book of Revelation chapter 7. You will see where it says there were angels of the four winds. And another angel comes says, don't blow until I put a mark on the foreheads of the children of God. Don't begin to blow. So you can see there's the four winds. And then if you go to Zechariah chapter 5, it talks about, again, the four winds. There you will see their spiritual winds because they are winds with chariots of different colors. And they determine what God does in the earth at different times. So these are spiritual winds. So here, what is a spiritual wind? A spiritual wind is the same. If you look at the natural wind first, let's say winter. Winter brings in cold weather. So that's a cold wind blowing. So if you want to benefit from a cold wind, you have to prepare for cold. So it must blow in a cold wind. Now, the same thing with spiritual wind. Spiritual winds are the words of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is the breath of God. Spoken is the life of God released. The word of God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Whenever God speaks, it's like you're hearing me now because of the air, the volume that comes. The voice of the Lord is a wind. That's why it says, when the day on the upper room, it says there was a mighty rushing wind. It was the wind of the Spirit of God. So, what does this wind mean? Winds are the things God has spoken, but they will not manifest
until their seasons come. And when their seasons come, there is a wind that blows to fulfill what God has spoken. And if you are able to discern the wind, that wind will carry you into that season, and you will be able to manifest whatever God has purposed to do in that hour that God has prepared, that human eyes, human ears have not seen. So, for example, there was a season that the children of Israel were under siege by the Syrians. There was no food, there was famine, the women were beginning to eat their children, it was very bad. Elisha received the word of the Lord that season has come to an end, that God has spoken that the season will change in 24 hours, and Israel will enter a new season. When Elisha prophesied that word, it was impossible to believe. But because God has spoken, there was a wind. What was the wind? The wind of the Lord is when we align ourselves to the direction of the prophetic word. And do you know that Elisha spoke that word, the children of Israel went there, but the people that were sensitive to they picked up on that wind were four lepers. The least people in the whole Israel. They were lepers. They could not go into the country because of their leprosy. They say, if we go in, we die. If we sit here, we die. Let's just go towards the direction of the enemy. And that's the direction God was blowing. So they didn't know. Nobody knew. Elijah just said it. But as they yielded, please take time and go read that in 1 Kings. It's amazing what you see there. As the lepers, no power of their own, no righteousness of their own, it was because God has said something and they moved in the direction of that season. And as they moved, the Bible says, the moment they took their step at twilight, the angels of the Lord went before them. Before they got to the camp of the Syrians, the very enemy that terrified Israel, the very enemy that built a siege, because of a change of season and some four lepers yielding to the atmosphere, that wind carried them and drove the Syrians away with unusual sound. Of the wind that the Syrians started hearing all kinds of things, and they fled. And four lepers came literally by the move of the Spirit to a place of a glorious inheritance and abundance. Without one battle, without one thing, nothing, they inherited and brought Israel. In other words, if you say there was a move of God in that day, God had that move with four lepers, restored Israel back to their victory, to their plenty, to who they are. Four lepers started that move of God. It wasn't anything they did. They were just sensitive to the season and the direction of the wind. So that's an example of a wind. So Jesus now is experiencing a new season. He knows that the disciples, they have not really come to understand these seasons very well, as much as he's spoken to them. But he told them, he says, stop everything you're doing that might disqualify you, because you're still going to be so busy. He says, go wait. In other words, go yield, position yourself, because there's a wind coming. And this wind is coming to fulfill a promise of the Father. A promise. Promises meaning a covenant. It's coming to fulfill this covenant. So they went and waited. How did they wait? If you read the second chapter of Acts, what was the waiting? It was not a passive waiting. It was not. They stopped everything they were doing and they zeroed in prayer. They were praying. They were seeking God. They were waiting. That's the waiting. They were seeking God. They were waiting. They were waiting. And do you know these 120 people were able to get to a point, they were able to receive what God has prepared. A promise that has been written for that season that they were not totally aware of. It was Peter that later, by revelation, told the people this was written by the book through the prophet Joel. And this was said by God. So, my brothers and sisters, in the seasons of the Lord, like right now, this season we are in is a prophetic season. And these seasons are sometimes God will use so many ways to try to awaken us, just like Jesus did with disciples. He really commanded them, says, don't go anywhere. Don't do, you know they could be distracted. Don't go, wait, go and position yourself in this season because something, a promise is about to be fulfilled. So now the same thing happened. God spoke to Abraham years back, made a covenant with Abraham and said, your people will be in a certain place, you know, for a period of time, for 400 years. After that, they will come out. And when God speaks, if you try to put day and time to it, you're going to just miss it unless God speaks, visits you so profoundly and tells you that, like Noah in 7 days. But other than that, you can understand the season, but you have to prepare for it. So Moses happened to have been prepared for this season. And God brought him into Egypt in this season. And even Moses himself was almost forgetting the plan of God, you know, because he's been waiting so long. God had to use the burning bush to shift his mindset, to turn him around, to bring him to a new season. So he came into this new season to Egypt, and things started happening. And in this first month, this season we are in, Moses was like a forerunner. He told the children of Israel, and they came out of Egypt in this season. Now, when God spoke to Abraham about this season, he told him they will not come out empty. There are provisions that are tied to seasons. So there was a blood covenant that Moses asked them to kill the lamb, put it on their doorpost, and all the stuff that we've talked about, you know. Why? Because God is saying it is not by their righteousness, it is not by anything they've done, it's not anything they would do, it is because of the covenant he made with Abraham. But this is the window of time, the season for that promise to be activated. So God said, the only way you can benefit from this is for you to come into covenant. So that even the mixed multitude, those that were not Israelites, as long as they were in houses that were covered by blood, they benefited from this promise that was to manifest. And that promise came to pass. They came out of Egypt. They came out with healing, with blessings, all the provisions we talked about last week. It was because of a covenant, and the covenant was connected to a promise, and the promise was connected to a season. And Moses brought them into that understanding. So you see again, this window, this season of time, also like we said last week, happened with Joshua. There was a change in the atmosphere. That's the point I want to make tonight in our prayer. Atmospheres do change during seasons. That's the key of seasons. What changes season is a new wind. It's a new wind. In Egypt, a new wind came. Pharaoh's time is over. And this wind now is God's wind. And God is blowing and is bringing his promises to pass. So after that, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And that season passed. Because they've been in wilderness for too long, God brought them into a new season. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So it was another wind. It was not the wind that used to bring him manna. It was not the wind of the wilderness. Now this is the wind that will blow in the promise. They will walk and step into their promise. And also is a fulfillment of a covenant. God says, after they leave Egypt, they will come to this land, Abraham, and they will inherit it. Your seed will inherit. It was a covenant. It was nothing they would ever do to enter there except to obey God and to keep that covenant. So Joshua and Caleb took these young people into, in this season, there was a change in the atmosphere. Joshua stepped into that change, and God started demolishing the spiritual forces of Canaan and allowed them to enter this new season to inherit and possess. Why? Because God made that covenant, and that was a season of it. So the reason that it's important to understand seasons is because season brings in new wind. In this context, it brings in a change of government or an awareness of what God did in that season. And God wants us to remember it and fight or claim it
or contend for it. So this season, there's no need for us to keep celebrating resurrections, celebrating Easter every year, and forget what happened on Easter. And the reason for us to remember ourselves, so it's not an event, but to remind ourselves so that we can begin to benefit from it this year, every day, every week, the rest of this year, is we need to go back and say, what happened in this season? What was the provision God made in this season? Has it expired? Or is it something that is still available? If it's available, am I walking in it? If I'm not walking in it, what do I have to do to reclaim the inheritance and this covenant in my life? How can I contend for it? If it's not expired, then I must find a way to live it out. That's the purpose of remembrance. So in this season, Jesus revealed several things. One, he died for our sins. In this season, he defeated Satan openly with his blood. And he says, this blood shall be a sign forever, like the rainbow. It shall be a sign forever that this work has been finished. The price has been paid. And with this blood, you are in covenant with me. And this blood will give you victory over sin, over every power of the enemy. And this blood will not only give you that, this blood now adopts you as the child of God, the son of the Most High God. No more the son of man, but the son of God. So, as the son of God, what are the privileges? You are now an heir of God's throne. What does that mean? So, these are opportunities, privileges. This, if the blood has not expired, which is true, and if what Jesus did will never expire, then the purpose of this season is to remind us what privileges we've been given. And we need to contend for it. So now, Jesus said there's something else. There is a promise attached to this season. What are the promises? In every generation, they are different. Everybody, whatever God has for that generation, if you pray, God will start revealing it. For our generation, let me say, for example, the people that lived in 1948, there was a sign that later appeared in 1949 and 1950. Today we call it, okay, the blood moon. I don't know how many people were aware of it, but it fulfilled, that season fulfilled a prophecy in the book of Hosea. It was written about Israel that God will restore them after 2 days. So that promise came to pass. And then in 1967, there was a blood moon. So there was a sign that there was a prophetic season and there was something God has prepared for Israel. And whatever God prepares for Israel as a nation, the church also has something attached to it and the nations. So what did God prepare for Israel in 1967? God prepared Jerusalem to go back to Israel. And that happened. That was fulfilled. Many people were not aware, but it happened. So, if nothing else in our time, if there is no sign, nothing to make us begin to believe God for a new season in our lives, at least the Word of God is telling us that this window of time, Jesus did not die in vain. This window reminds us that a great price has been paid for us to be covenant people. For us to be heirs of God, for us to be children, and we must study to see what this means to us as a person. What does it mean to us in our ministry? What does it mean as a family? What does it mean with our calling to a nation where we are? What does it mean for the nations? What is written about this season? And what are the promises we can tap into so that our lives can be meaningful and relevant for the purpose of God in where we are planted? These are the things that prayer brings. These are the things that waiting on God brings. And these are the things the book of Jude says we must contend for the faith that was left for us of the fathers of faith. So if that's not sufficient just to stand on the basis of scripture, to seek God for the purpose of this season, this is not something we have to wait every Easter to remind ourselves. This is something God wants us to experience from day to day, the revelation of what this Easter season, this resurrection meant. There is promise and there's a covenant attached. So if that is not enough, in our own time,
here is another blood moon. I'm repeating it because if it happened in 1948, 49, and 50, and it happened in 1967, it's not a coincidence that here we see another blood moon, and you can literally sense through the media and what is happening that Israel is about to go into a serious conflict with the nations. And if this is happening at the watch of this blood moon, and then you see America, who is supposed to be, has protected Israel since 1948, is struggling with that covering. And you see the rest of the nations almost about to again converge at the United Nations. Something is happening. But outside of Israel, the church is also spiritually being awakened to this season. So before I close this, so that I'm just giving you a reason for you to wait upon the Lord. That word wait is press into this window of time. Why? Because a lot of people are going to be waiting to see something big happen before they wake up. But Jesus, from this season, started when he arose, a lot of people, not everybody experienced him for 40 days. Something already has begun before Pentecost, before all those things start happening. Jesus was visiting people who were seeking him. Jesus was revealing himself to people. He was manifesting and revealing and talking about the kingdom and revealing about the season. For 40 days, the people thought he was dead, he's over, his ministry is gone. Everybody said, oh, he's over that. But only those who have spiritual eyes and who were really crying out to God were able to experience him. And to them, he says, you now, he gave them instructions what to do in that season. And those who responded to the instruction, they became the people who became the recipients of today we call the 120 at the upper room, that ushered in what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of men what God prepared for that season, for that generation. So my brothers and sisters, something God has prepared for Israel is obvious in the atmosphere. And Israel is a sign for things in the spirit for the church. So I just want to encourage you, as you seek the Lord, as you pray, begin to be intentional. I want to benefit from this covenant. I want to experience the victory that is in the blood of Jesus. I want to experience the healing, the provision, the protection. All the provisions of this covenant is not expired. I want to taste it. I want to experience it. I want to contend for my inheritance. And not only so, I want to be connected, aligned to whatever God has promised to this generation in this window of time. I want to be part of a people who will usher in something that will be relevant to the transformation and the shift and the harvest of our generation. That's the benefit of waiting on God and seeking God intentionally without too much distraction in this season. So I just want to encourage you, if four lepers, God can use them to rest upon the wings, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. If four lepers can usher in a change, if 120 people can, and all through the Bible, Elisha, all these different people, they understood the time when the spiritual atmosphere changed and they tapped into that hour. I want to encourage you all, please, you have labored so much, you've waited so much, and many times when people have waited in the wilderness for too long, they sit until God says, arise, Joshua, it is time to enter a new season. Moses, until the burning bush awakened him. You know, so let's not allow the past of manna and the past of sickness and the past of all the things we've been through make us think that, oh, when is God going to change? Just let's believe that this season, Jesus says, press into something new and stand upon that which is already been finished and fulfilled through the blood of the Lamb. And see, just maybe God will push you into something new, not only in your life, but something that can affect those around you and benefit your ministry, your city, your nation, and possibly the nations of the world. I am not telling you a story. I am already beginning to live it and taste it. And I know it will happen to you. Father, I thank you that you, Jesus,
Our Lord, you have paid the price. Father, we thank you because you are a good God. You are a faithful Father. You said if men that are evil know how to give good things, prepare inheritance for their children, how much more our Heavenly Father. We thank you that, Father, the years of preparation, the years of manna, the years of transformation, Father, help us, oh God, like you showed mercy to the disciples. Visit your people in this hour by dreams, by vision, by your revelation, even by this word that you're speaking. Let there be an awakening, a reality that causes somebody to really be awakened and be quickened by these things, and cause your people to position their heart in their secret place, in their corporate prayer, and believe you to enter into an atmosphere of the manifestation of the promises you have attached to this very season, so that we can be recipients of that which you finished from the foundations of the earth. Father, we thank you for these faithful laborers. We thank you for these faithful intercessors. We pray that these days of your visitation will truly be our portion. And that if you can use four lepers, remember us, O God. Use us, ride upon us as a donkey into the very destiny and expectations of our generation. May we truly be the first fruits of the manifestations of the sons of God for the generation that is groaning and crying to be released from the place of bondage, captivity, and oppression. We thank you, Father, that this is your season. We pray even as you have made covenant with Israel, you've made even covenant with your church. Let this season, O God, bring us into the fulfillment of things you have spoken, and help us not to miss the hour and the days of our visitation. Help us to wait upon you, even as we're doing tonight, and receive all the glory for all that you prepared for us, and you prepared to use us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.